Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, suit on, looking like the Capitan, giving a mic. Like a million bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Mm-hmm. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey, got a radio show. Steve Harvey got a radio show. Yeah, man. Boy. Man, God has been good to me. I can't even put it into words, man. But I try, though. I try. God does things for me just right on time. He's so cool with it. And I happen to run across Joel Osteen on television, like I often do all the time. And I was sitting there, and he had such a timely message for me. It was like, man, all I could say was, man, God, thank you, man. Because I needed to hear what he had to say that day. Now, I'm going to get to the thing that I never really, really understood before. A part of it was something that I've said oftentimes about if you really, really want to be successful, if you really, really want to change, if you really, really want to prosper, if you really, really want to achieve greatness, if you really, really want to have something in life that's worth having, if you really, really want to accomplish your goals, you got to push through all of it. He said that when you get closer to it, the more difficult it becomes. Did you hear me? He said the closer you get to what it is you want or you need or you have to have or you would love to be, it gets a little bit more difficult when you get closer. He told this story that's in the Bible that I'd never heard before. And so I'm just repeating it. Now, I'm not going to get it exactly right. I can't tell you the scripture it was in, none of that. Please understand. I was listening. So this is what he said. He said there was a man who was paralyzed, and he had heard that Jesus was speaking at a house. And so he wanted to get there, so he convinced four of his friends to put him on a stretcher and carry him for hours to get to this house where Jesus was speaking. He said that along the way, these friends said that they went along because he had so much faith that if he could just get to him, it could be better, that he could, if he could just get over there and he could see him, that he might have a shot at getting healed. And so he said they took out along the way and they walked and they walked and they walked for hours. And then when they got there, the house was completely filled with people. There was absolutely, it was packed wall to wall. There was absolutely no way for the men to get him on that stretcher in to see Jesus. This is a story that Joel Osteen said is in the Bible and he was telling it. No, I'm just repeating the parts of it I gathered. And so he said they sat there and they went, wow, man, we walked all this way and it's full and we can't get there. He said, and then the guy with the affliction told the four men, if you get up on the roof and cut a hole in it and lower me down, I bet I could see him then, and I bet it'll be all right. Now, he then said, you must imagine how these four men must have felt when you carry somebody for hours on the way they had to carry some cloth connected by a couple of sticks. Said the men's shoulders had to be bruised, had to have deep gouges in them, not cuts, but just indentations where they had carried the weight of this grown man for so many hours. And they looked at him in disbelief, like, man, what are you talking about? We done walked all this far. He said, yeah, but if you get up on that roof and you cut a hole in it and lower me down, I can see him. And when he see me, it'll be all right. After sitting there and imploring the men, they went up and did just that. And in the story that Joel Osteen said, the man was healed. But the point he was making was, he was saying that the closer you get to what it is you really want, the more difficult it's going to become. But you've got to push through. See, if you don't push through, you never know. See, you can't get right to the answer, and because it gets really difficult, start creating those little sayings that we got as people. Well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. I guess it wasn't the Lord's will. No, man, I guess you should not give up right now. I guess you should keep pressing. I guess you should do more. Because, see, in all of us, when you've had enough, I want you to know something. You do have a little bit more. In all of us, you can do one more. You know, that's one of my favorite things, and I heard Joel Osteen say it, and it kind of made me feel good. He said, I always feel like I can do one more anything. And I tell my friends all the time, I can do one more, man. I could do one more day. I can do one more anything. If you just break it down to one more. If I got to, I'll do just one more week. If that's all that's left, I can just do one more month. If I got to do another year, I find a way to get that year done. Because I've learned inch by inch, anything's a cinch. But I've learned over a course of time that you've got to keep pressing forward. Now, here was the jewel that I never really knew that Joel Osteen and God sent to me. I needed to hear. He said that no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult the time is that you're having, no matter how long the challenge is you've been facing, God has an end date for it all. Did you hear me? No matter what you're going through, no matter what challenge you're facing, no matter what situation you've gotten yourself into, God has an ending date in mind for you. All you got to do is keep pressing forward. All you got to do is hang in there. All you got to do is don't give up. All you have to do is don't turn back. There is an end date for all of it. Even when you think you've had enough. And boy, have I had this conversation with God on several things that I've been going through. And I've even told him, look, I got it, man. I got it. He said, just keep hanging on. There is an end date to whatever it is you're going through. There's an end date to your illness, your sickness, your tired of being tired. There's an end date to this relationship that you can't seem to get through, beyond, over, that's like a cancer to you. There's an end date, but you've got to hang in there. You've got to keep pushing forward. You cannot turn around. You must not go back, because when God gets you through this and you break through to the other side, the reward and the benefit is far greater than the struggle. I oftentimes look at some of the things that God has brought me through in my worst times. And when he brought me through, I went, wow, man. Now that I understand that, now that I'm on the other side and I have the benefit of the reward for it, would you do it all again to get there? Yes, I would. Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Steve Harvey. This is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. This show would be nothing without the following people. Ladies and gentlemen, Shirley Strawberry.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning.
Carla Farrell.
Good morning, crew.
Keir Spates, better known as Junior.
Morning, Unc. Morning, everybody.
J. Anthony Brown, better known as Bitter Man.
What up, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, Thomas W. Miles, better known as The Fool, a.k.a. Nephew Tommy / Lil Man.
Good morning, everybody.
And the little man is just for aggravation purposes. He's that's really all. Not that small.
That's all.
We know how to push each other's buttons, though. We've worked together.
Everybody know everybody's
yeah,
button.
We've worked together for so long.
Just lay on
know.
It.
Yeah,
we lay on.
I don't have a button.
It's bitter.
We ain't found it yet, but we gonna
bitter
find it.
Bitter as you are.
Oh,
you have a button.
Yeah.
Oh, Steve. It's called Steve's been marriage.
Yes. Yeah.
It's what?
Oh, his button is called marriage.
Oh, marriage, right, yes. Yeah,
hey, you bring it up, he start drawing.
I know, the last time I brought it up, he snapped at me, remember? It went like in.
Oh, what a world.
Oh, and I know another button, but I'll only use it if he pisses me off.
Oh, because you know, you've known him the longest, yeah.
Oh, I got buttons.
You got some buttons.
He got another button.
It's big and red. It's the one, same size as one sitting on Trump desk.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nuclear.
Let's move on.
He's getting mad with you just talking about the
button.
You
know, okay, he know what it is then.
Can we just move on?
We've been together a long time, me and my boy right there, boy. It was the best thing putting him on this show, man. Kind of gave me like a balance punch, you know. You know, but you see how he talked to me when I come into work.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't never talked to me like that.
Yeah. No, but you all have history, man.
Oh, he talked to me so crazy when I come to work.
If we didn't know
what
you
up,
guys.
What up, blankety blank?
We would think you hated each other the way you talk to each other.
That's just amongst us. I don't do it on the other job, ever. No.
But that's love, though. That's your love language.
That's a lie, Junior.
He's lying right now.
What did he say when he doesn't do it anywhere else?
He come in there on the days he ain't on the air. He come in there and give us a gift.
Wow.
That's fun, man.
It's Monty.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, now it's time for something funny, guys. We're going to talk about annoying things that grown people do while you're driving. So these people are in the car with
they're
you.
They're riding with you.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, this the passenger. Okay.
The passenger. Mm. Or the back seat or kids. Or you're the driver, so you got to focus.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah.
And it's just little stuff that gets on, just little things.
Oh, man.
Like, just that little.
Like what?
Steve, like you driving, right? I can't stand people to point to stuff for me to look at.
Yeah.
Damn it, I'm driving.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
Ooh, look.
You missed
how?
It. You missed it.
You missed how? It. Oh, you, they got tomatoes on sale. Look.
Yeah. Yeah, Jay.
That's
real talk.
They got tomatoes on sale. I'm going to see that sign and I'm driving. Ain't nowhere in the world. Man, I can't stand for people to sing in my car. That gets on my nerve. Because first of all, you don't know the words to the song.
Oh, my God.
I can't stand. And you don't sound nothing like.
Nothing like the song.
The song.
Are you evil? Will you just change the station when they're singing?
I'll put it on talk.
Oh, talk radio?
I don't care what they talk about. We start listening to talk the minute you open your mouth. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are here today.
You got one, Sean?
I don't like when we going cross town to my auntie house. I done been there 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. But my wife want to give me directions, though, on how to get
go
there.
This way. Go this way.
If you take more directions.
Take 45 and then take 59. If you take 59, we'll get there a little quicker. But
we've been there here? Several times. I know where I'm going.
I just don't like directions. Come on, Steve. I know you got one.
I can't stand when people driving their damn car. Looking over at an accident that they ain't in. And about to get us in one over here. I can't stand that, man. What you looking over there for?
I don't like
that. I can't stand. You know what else I can't stand, Steve? That window is not to be played with, okay?
That up and down?
Yeah.
That's to the kids.
Yeah.
Or women with hot flashes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't stand that. That's why they got window locked.
That's why they got locked. Yeah.
You got to lock the window.
Take the child lock off. I'm not going to do it.
I don't care how grown you is. I'm not going to do it. You know, I can't stand. Right as I get my car washed and I come pick you up and take you somewhere, if you eat in my car and drop anything.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is when you driving. You always notice somebody dropping something.
Yeah.
You got chips. I see the chip fall down your shirt to the seat to my floor. But you keep eating like it ain't down there.
Okay. I hate to go there.
Come on now.
I'm driving in my car. Uh-huh. I look out the little peripheral of my right side.
Mm-hmm.
Are you picking your nose? Wait a minute. Where are you dusting that
where
off
you gonna
to?
Put that?
Off your fingers, man. Where's that going?
Ew.
That's on my flow mat now, brother.
Gross.
But y'all didn't seen it. You didn't seen it.
Yeah. Come on, Steve.
I used to hate getting in somebody's car and don't nothing work. We ain't got no radio. We ain't got no air. We just sitting up in here hot, in silence, and it's starting to smoke.
Hot, you remember hot, from a long heat. Time while?
Man, boy, you just hate that.
Man,
I love here's it. One. Okay, look in. Okay, you can have gum in your mouth.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear you click it.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
I don't want to hear you pop it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to see you making bubbles out of it.
Yeah. Mm.
Damn it, just chew it, okay?
Yeah.
Just chew it. That's it. That's why they call it chewing gum.
You so ain't got issue.
You know what? I got this problem right now. I want to drive like Uncle Steve. But I don't have one. But right now, stay out my damn glove box.
Why for you?
Why is you why, in why? There? What the hell made you click that 2 buttons and pull it down? What you in there for?
What are you looking for?
Like you got something in here.
When did you put something in there?
It's like when you go to someone's house and they go to their medicine cabinet in the bathroom.
Stay out the damn glove
box.
Okay.
I love it.
This what bothered me. Uh-huh. We pull out the driveway.
Yeah.
I'm rolling my son in the back seat. He start hollering and crying. We can't go. We got to stop. Wait a minute. What's wrong? The Wi-Fi ain't working. I can't get it on my iPad. What?
Got some money.
You got one, Steve?
Come on, Steve.
I used to hate.
What?
Don't ask me to use my car. Please, man. You don't want your feelings hurt. You don't know how I really feel about you. Don't ask me to use my damn car for nothing.
For nothing. Yeah.
Go to work.
Yeah.
Go to store.
Yeah.
He gonna find out where you really stand.
And the phrase, well, it's just sitting there. That's why it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
My car.
Cause it's my car.
And I ain't
right.
Well, it's just sitting there. So?
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
Here's one I hate. Here's one I hate. I'm backing out. Now, in order to back out, you got to look back. Why am I looking at you looking back at me backing out? It don't take two of us to back out.
I'm looking.
Close it up.
I'll tell you one thing I can't say. Don't diagnose my car. How you know what's wrong with my car? Sally, you got a bad tie. How you know? You just got in.
Come on, Steve, close
this
it up.
Got, well, this one last one. This got something to do with using my car. This is what a friend did to me one time. Called a cab to my house to ask me to use my car. You should have took this cab to where your ass wanted to go.
That's stupid.
That's crazy.
You've been there.
All right, get ready for Reverend Motown and Deacon Def Jam. They are up next with Church Complaints.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
But right now, it is time for Reverend Motown and Deacon Def Jam with today's Church Complaints.
Lord, I forgot. Hold on, let me get my voice.
Take your time, Pastor.
I don't have the proper voice. Hold on.
Yeah, you gained so many voices. You all right.
I'm a game show host, and it's overcoming my better judgment.
All right.
We here for this ratchetness of complaintress and confusionality. From a congregation that is unbefetically, and I say that humbly.
Right.
As I recently heard her say, ladies and gentlemen, the most ungrateful congregation of all time, headed up by what used to be my main man, Deacon Def Jam, you falling off with these complaints. Go ahead, Deacon.
Ooh. I thought I was still your main man. All right.
Well, you're the only deacon I got at the church.
Well,
tried to bring in Adenoid, but can't nobody stand his voice.
Well, it's the breathing. It's not the voice. It's the breathing.
It's so damn aggravating. It's just like him, though.
He's here if you need him, though, Pastor.
Matter of fact, I'm going to talk to Adenoid a little later on and discuss some things with
him.
Go ahead.
All right. Pastor Al, here we have Brother Jabberjaw Jenkins got his last tooth removed last week. He's asking that the church buy him a blender and a life supply of straws. As you know, 3 years ago, he was caught with Brother Lionel Goodwine's wife and lost all his teeth except one. That one just got removed a couple weeks ago. So, blender and lifetime supply of straws is what he's asking.
We're not going to be able to do that for Brother Jabberjaw.
Not Jabberjaw.
Jabberjaw Jenkins.
Yeah. Had he kept his jabber in his pants, we wouldn't have this situation.
All right. Moving right along. Now that weed has become legal in some states, Pastor, we now have a group that wants to develop a weed ministry. They call themselves High Hopes. They want you to approve the ministry and give them full range to turn the basement into a greenhouse.
What? Yeah.
We're not allowing the growth of weed in this basement of the Lord's house.
Now, the industry is making a lot of money, just so you know.
Well, I understand that. Now, we do have a lot that's empty behind the church that I strongly suggest we go out there and fence in and provide a deacon to watch it. Because soon as them Valentine boys find out it's weed down here, here they come. So all I right. suggest that they weed ministry use the lot right behind the church.
All right, I will let everyone in High Hopes know that behind the... I got it. Pastor, Kirk Franklin and Fred Hammond have a movie coming out called Big Spirit, Little Spirit. They would like to film some of the scenes here at the church. It's scheduled to hit Netflix October 2018. Side note, they got $10 million apiece for the picture.
Well, we're going to need a piece of that $10 million to film here. We're going to need and full reciprocity for that also. And
full
we expect
what?
A donation, a reciprocity. We're going to expect a donation from Lil Kirk and Big Fred.
All right.
Of some kind for that. How much you think we could get, Deacon?
Well, considering they getting 10 apiece. I mean, if we get 10% from each one of them, Pastor, we looking pretty good.
10%? That's tithes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, we can charge them for using the church as well.
That's $2 million if you total that.
That's right. That's right.
Well, they come here, they ain't use a church, they ain't had a church.
You gonna so give the church away?
You know how all these crosses, pew, choir robe, offering tray, communion jugs, all this gone.
Not the jackpot.
Pastor, if you sell the church, then I won't have complaints next week. Now, we
well,
can't
well,
just,
yeah. well, what are we complaining for?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They had a church.
They give her $2 million. I'm going to give y'all 10%. Y'all going to open up another one of these. And I ain't even got to be the pastor no more.
What? What about
you
your calling? What about your calling, Pastor?
I've been, you just like you get called to, you can get called out. And I know I get called up out of here. I get my hands on 1.8.
You out.
I know I served him long enough.
Wow.
I can see the sign.
What are the signs?
The sign, that's a sign for me to get out and move my life in. There's other ways to serve and spread the gospel.
Oh, okay.
And I think after I get 1.8, it'd be just time for me to spread.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you can't, the whole 1.8 can't just go to you, though, Pastor. Right. I've been
no, I just
too,
told right? you. That I would 10%. Give you all the church 10%.
He said that. He did.
See that $2 million. Uh-huh. Now that $200,000.
Uh-huh. But they don't. Excuse me, Pat. Between me and you, the other people ain't really been working here doing that.
He thinks he should get half. Like
well, I don't know. Digging, I'm gonna hand you the 10%. I don't care how you do it.
He thinks he should get half, Pastor.
Who should get half?
Deacon.
Deacon.
Yeah. Deacon
Def James. That's what
he
said.
He get half of the 200.
Half of
no,
the 2
half
million.
Of the 2 million.
Oh, you ain't nobody but the deacon. You can't get half.
Well,
and
I mean,
you the deacon.
What you say, deacon?
That's
I
like
say, well,
the referee
that.
Getting the same money as the fighter. That ain't finna happen.
It's like, what's happening?
Just, let's you, move on, man.
That's not finna happen.
We'll
you're just
we'll
the same as what you saying is. I'm the pilot, and you the flight attendant trying to make the same money.
Now, how am I going to help
him? Co-pilot.
I would be the co-pilot. Yeah.
No,
I
see,
would...
no. See, what you is, you just a stripper. I'm the strip club owner. Well, you're not going to get the same money. You pick all that money up off that floor.
Make it rain.
Yeah, but you pick up all that rain money.
One more thing before we go. We need to get out of here.
No. There ain't no one more thing. We need to clear this up.
Well, hurry up, though.
All right.
No, well, go ahead, then.
Well, I have something important. The Black Panther wants to join our church, but he is asking that all the sisters cut their hair and remove their weaves and look like more of the people from Wakanda, Pastor. But that, and I think we should start with these two right
well,
here.
We're not going to be able to do
hair.
That because we got some women that ain't going to look good without hair. No, we're not gonna have
all right, listen, we
got
to go.
We got some women in here.
Everybody can't rock that
yeah.
look.
Yeah,
everybody can't
forever,
rock that look. You
got
to have a body to go with that look. Yeah. You can't cut your hair off and have nothing else.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll
now
have...
What you ain't finna do is have me sitting up in here with a church full of sumo wrestlers. That ain't what you're having.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve is here with some depressing places. Steve.
I was thinking
of
some depressing places you can be. Just places that get depressing. Like, it's depressing if you're in a car with somebody and they got the radio on playing some music you can't stand, but you can't say nothing because it ain't your car.
Man,
you can be depressed. You'll just be looking out the window. But your face be up against the glass, though. You be going, man.
Like you 3 years old. Oh, that hurts, man.
Or like this. I'll tell you something else. You ever throw a house party and over three people show up?
Oh, that's depressing. That's really depressing.
Man, you just in there, man. Them little sandwiches just drying out with them toothpicks in it.
Yeah, man. That's pretty bad.
You know, I tell you something else depressing because I got to go tomorrow in Atlanta.
What, Steve?
If you go to the DMV and you number 1426 and they only on number 871.
That's depressing.
It's 600 more people for you.
Yes.
God.
That's
depressing.
That's pretty depressing, partner.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I tell you something depressing. This was me and Winton one time. Watching your child play sports, but they ain't worth a damn.
Really?
Winton was on the basketball team. I've never been so embarrassed in my whole life.
You're not supposed to say this.
No.
Hard as I can.
He knows better.
Black ass supposed to say this. Take up piano or something.
No so better.
You did you leave up?
No, I was. I took him off the team.
You took him off?
Y'all took him off the team. We ain't going to keep because this ain't what you do. I can tell right now you can't play basketball. I've been working with you, and this it?
It's a team thing,
what?
Though. You got to learn how to be a team.
Yeah, you're out here just having these little white kids shaking and baking you not while I'm watching.
You are crazy.
Now, you're not going to do that to me.
Don't let that white boy do
you're not going to do that to me. He's just out here shaking and breaking you. He all between his legs, breaking your wrist. Get your ass up, boy. You a Harvey. No, I took him right on off that team.
How old was he, Steve?
Oh, man.
How old was Winton? Eight? You didn't give him
come
time.
This ain't what you do.
You were dream killing. Dream killer.
Dream killer.
No, he 3B21. He still can't hoop.
The white boy shooting.
No,
because you took him off
bad.
The team.
Huh?
Step back and knock down the
I
shot.
I took him off the team. He got other gifts.
White boy
good.
Hit the shot, Steve. Did hit the shot?
All on him. I said, nope.
Yeah,
it's right here. And I'm sitting next to the white boy's father.
What did
Steve,
he say,
is this your son?
Hey, great move, Caleb.
Caleb.
You got took by a white boy named Caleb right there. You coming out of basketball. There ain't a white boy ever been in the NBA named Caleb. I tell you another place that's depressing.
What's that?
What?
If you go to a Sandals couple resort by yourself. Everybody booed up. You over there just eating.
Unlimited.
You on your ninth drink. Everybody woman fine. I tell you another depressing place.
Come on, bring it. I'm getting depressed. Right, yeah.
Church, if you know you're going to hell.
Oh, goodness.
It's a hard place to sit in. Oh, Pastor. Fire and stone.
There's something wrong with you.
Is this about me?
Hot. Hell fire. Ain't no way you gonna make it.
Are you going to
die? I'll tell you another depressing
place. Did you hear Jay, Steve?
Is this about me, Pastor?
Here's another depressing place.
Come on.
Tinder, if you ugly.
Tinder?
If you on Tinder and you ugly, there's so many swipes. You ain't never, you've been on there 3 weeks. Ain't nobody swiped you and kept you yet.
Wow.
And
that's
everybody
bad.
You swipe, don't swipe back.
That's depressing.
Oh, man.
That's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You on Tinder and you just ugly.
Yeah, that's what it's like to be. That's depressing.
Yeah.
That's depressing. That's bad,
Junior. Like me?
It's depressing when the mailman show up. You think he got your income tax return check?
Yes.
He hand you some more damn bills. What the hell you think I'm gonna pay these with?
Talk.
You ain't see nothing in your bag. Check your bag.
Wow. Feeling sad.
I'm so depressed right now.
Depressed.
You got
I'll tell you another something that could be pretty depressing. You get that pregnancy test kit from the drugstore and pee on it, and it ain't the color you want.
Yeah, brother. That's pretty depressing.
Yeah, Father.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, that mess up your whole day, right?
You go right down there and get another one, don't you?
Yeah, you bought three of them, sir. Damn it, I'm paying for them. Don't worry about it.
I had them lined up one time. I had about eight of them out there. All of them was the same color.
Try it again. Try it now. Try it now.
Yeah. Very depressing.
Wow, Steve, well, you've really managed to bring the show down.
Yeah, you thought about this.
Just remember, if you've been on Tinder 2 weeks and ain't nobody swiped you yet, you need to check yourself. Yeah. Take that photo off.
Put a new one on.
It's time to catfish somebody. At this point, you need to get into catfishing.
Oh, my God.
Because 2 weeks on Tinder, ain't nobody swiped your picture.
Not a one.
God, no. And you keep checking.
How busted are you?
Really? This is depressing.
I know. I can't believe you thought of this, Steve.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Now, Steve, Jay is here. Please introduce him to Murder Another.
Ladies. Gentlemen, Murder the Hits, J. Anthony Brown.
What up, everybody? This is your boy, J. Anthony Brown. It's going down Tuesday night at the J-Spot Comedy Club, 5581 West Manchester Avenue. J. Anthony Brown and friends. And now, this song right here, Steve, I want to thank you for allowing me to introduce the Fat Panther on this show.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what the Fat Panther did not have was theme music.
Right.
Cannot be a superhero without theme music.
Right.
This is the Fat Panther's theme song. Check it out.
Back in the 70s.
Jam, boy. She just played. Got a message for you.
That Panther.
I love it.
That Panther.
That's superhero theme song.
Yeah,
oh, Lord.
That's what he do, because that's what he do.
Man, this boy touched me, man.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Yahoo is reporting, guys, a new poll that finds 59% of couples say that they suspected their partner of cheating. If they suspected them, they would discuss the matter with them rather than jumping to conclusions. I'm going to say that again for the ladies, okay? 59% of couples say that if they suspected their partner of cheating, they would discuss the matter with them rather than jumping to conclusions.
Okay, okay, black couples.
Okay, cool. Let me ask you a question. Shirley and Carla.
No.
Let me ask you a question. Just listen to this question.
Okay.
If you suspected your husband of cheating and it was not on the internet, nobody knew, none of your coworkers, it wasn't out, it wasn't made public. If you suspected your husband of cheating, would you bring it up calmly? Would you bring it up with anger? How would you do it?
Probably all of the above for me. Without the calm, though.
Damn.
You already know where I'm coming.
All of coming.
Vigor. All of that.
There's no calm.
All of the above for me without the calm.
Anger. If I suspected that?
No, well, I mean, if you had suspicions, you ain't have no proof. You ain't heard nothing. You ain't got no pictures. Ain't on internet. None of that.
But, Steve, you know we have intuition. You know we have intuition. Is that disappointing to you, Mr. Harvey?
I don't know. I'm just trying to see what y'all would do. I don't really.
And the word discussion I have a problem with. There will be no discussion.
Well, are you going to just find out on your own first? Like, do you know a little CSI?
Let me ask you a question,
comes with the territory.
Suppose you discovered that you were 100% wrong about him.
Oh, then I'm
that he wasn't cheating. What happens at that point?
Oh, then I'm apologizing and begging for his forgiveness and threatening him. He better not do it. You see what happens.
Yeah.
When I just
forgiveness and threat at the same time?
That is
definitely.
That is,
you got to put the fear of God in his heart. That's, you got to do that.
Yeah, you apologize for your wrongdoing.
Absolutely.
But let me
make it up to him. You know,
that is a lot.
All of that.
Yeah. Wow.
That's amazing.
Any more questions? We're here for it.
No, y'all's answers is short and direct.
And and truthful.
And there's no the in between. Ain't no, you know. That's like talking to y'all.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Were you expecting something else?
I don't know what I expected, but that wasn't it.
You've obviously been through this before.
I'll tell you what I found out though.
What's that?
I'm finding out I ain't even fine enough to have a discussion. Once they find out I cheated, it's over. Your ugly ass sitting up here got the nerve to cheat. No, you
damn,
didn't.
Junior.
But Junior, don't you know that money changes things? Don't you know that?
Yeah. How you get the nerve?
That was before. Look at you now.
But see, Tommy's saying, dang, Junior, like, you can't believe Junior called himself ugly. Tommy, you're ugly.
No, I am not. I'm not going to let you stop doing that. You go, listen, 2018, you're not going to do this.
Tommy,
I'm not ugly.
I'm going to tell the truth in 2018.
Are you fine, Tommy?
No, I'm not no fine, and I'm not all, but I ain't just finna be ugly, though. No, I'm not doing that.
Dog, you're not fine.
And I'm not ugly.
But listen to me. If you're not fine,
then what
but
is
by
you?
A long shot, what you think that is?
Why do you do that to him, Steve? You know that's him.
I don't know why Tommy keep thinking he cute.
But
you're not cute.
I didn't say I was cute. I'm just saying I'm not.
Tommy,
ugly.
Listen to me. Listen to me. You look strange.
I'm decent. I don't look strange. Shut up, man.
You do.
I do not look strange.
Tommy. Tommy, listen to me, man.
He just tries to find
Just get a mirror and look at yourself from the side. You strange looking.
I am not strange.
No, Tommy, you are. You look strange, dog. Everybody, all the men in our family, we strange looking from the side.
We can have fun with it, Tommy, when you accept it.
Tommy doesn't accept that. He's never going to accept that. You guys know that.
I'm not doing it.
All right, speaking of Tommy.
Take us to break with your strange looking.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, get ready for today's strawberry letter. But up next, come on, nephew, what you got?
Workers' comp.
You're just so matter of fact.
Workers' comp.
Animated and yeah. all of that.
Y'all ain't never got workers' comp?
I ain't never been on it, man.
No, I got it. I think once. I got it. Did I?
Yeah, I think I have when I was young.
I got it once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it once.
Mm-hmm.
I got it once. Workers' comp.
Okay.
You ain't never got a call?
Uh-uh, just maternity leave. I ain't
never got a call. Way worse than workers' comp.
How would you know?
I don't know, but I can't handle no damn baby, so yeah. I know they got yeah.
it. Can a man...
I'm not going to lay down over my legs, so I'm just going to tell you
can
that
can a
right
man
now.
Have yes, maternity leave?
Yeah, yeah, Tommy.
Yeah, when their wife is pregnant. Yeah, when their wife is pregnant.
That's what it's called.
Can my baby be 5 and I get it?
If your baby is ill...
He ain't ill, like, physically. I just think something wrong with it. So, can I just...
Well, hell, daddy. Something wrong with it, daddy.
Are you crazy?
DNA? You talking about that
yeah,
DNA?
I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
If you his daddy, there's a high chance.
You walked right into that one, nephew.
DNA strong.
Here it is.
All right.
Yeah, hello. Hello, I'm trying to reach a Vincent, please. Who's calling? My name is Ed from the human resources.
Oh, yeah, that's me. What's up?
Well, Benson wanted to, first of all, check on you. We know you're got injured here at the job. How you doing so far?
Yeah, man, I'm making it, man. You know, everything's cool, and, you know, I don't know how long. The therapy's going pretty good, though, but I'm all right.
Therapy's going pretty well?
Yeah, they say I'm doing all right. The pain level is about maybe a 6 still, but it's getting better, though.
Okay. Listen, have you been getting your check on time?
Yeah, I've been getting it, man, and I appreciate it because it really helps, man, because, you know, I ain't able to work right now. They said it's going to be a little while, so I appreciate that. Y'all the one to send in the check?
Yes, sir. We're the ones getting the checks out and wanted to make sure that that's definitely getting there. So you're good on that, huh?
It's good. It's all good, man. I appreciate it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. We've got a bit of a problem that we wanted to check on. Now, you haven't been doing any strenuous work.
I ain't been working at all, man. I just been taking it easy. I can't do nothing really right now. And they told me not to do nothing.
All right. Now, you do know the rules are that you're not supposed to do anything to jeopardize your back, correct?
Yeah. I'm straight. I ain't been doing nothing, man.
Okay. Well, let me say this to you. We do have some surveillance cameras that are showing us that you've been doing some strenuous work.
I ain't even been going nowhere. Talking about surveillance cameras. I don't even hardly go nowhere.
Well, you know. the strenuous work that you're doing is actually at home.
At home. I'll be inside. I don't do nothing outside. I don't even barbecue, man. What you talking about? Strenuous work.
Okay. Have you, Vincent, been having sex at home?
What the kind of question? Who is this? Is this the supervisor or something? What kind of? Let me talk to the supervisor. That ain't none of your damn business.
Sir, I'm with human resources.
I don't give about man, excuse me, dog, but I don't mean disrespect you. Just because you paying me, you know, looking out for me and don't mean you can call me and just say any kind of like that, man. About have you been having sex? What kind of question?
Vincent, are you having sex at home?
Say, that ain't none of your business, dog, if I've been having sex or not.
Okay.
Wait, let me talk. Who your supervisor, man?
Sir, I'm the supervisor here at Human Resources. It's been brought to my attention, and we actually have you on surveillance. You've been having sex. Now,
I know there not be no cameras in my house. I know that much. And who authorized some like that anyhow? Surveillance
sir,
for me.
You're not supposed to be having sex if your back is hurting. Okay.
Man, you've been not having no damn camera in my house. What you talking about? You've been surveillance for me having sex. That's a damn lie.
Sir,
what's your name? What's your name, man?
I'm Ed, sir. My name is Ed.
Ed, who Ed? Because I'm trying to be nice, but you pissing me off, Ed. Ed, who?
Sir, here it is.
Ed,
if we find out, I'm giving you a warning.
No, Ed, I don't need no. Well, I'm giving you a warning. You let me find a damn camera in my house telling me I can't have no sex. and all that.
Cannot have sex if you're that is strenuous work and you're putting it on your back and we're paying you. We're paying you.
I don't give a damn about what you're paying me and what you ain't paying me. You gonna call my damn phone, tell me something about you got a surveillance camera in my house? That's some ass.
Okay, well, sir, Vincent, let me say this to you.
You don't need to say nothing to me, but your last name and then your supervisor name. That's what you need to do.
My name is Ed, okay? And you don't need to worry who the supervisor is. You need to make sure that there's no more sex going on until your back is healed.
Look, you're going to have me to cuss your out and hang up on your man. I don't have time for this, man. That's what y'all do because y'all doing for people. Y'all think y'all can do illegal and talk to people crazy, man, when y'all helping them. I don't appreciate that at all, man. This is I don't know who y'all think y'all is down there. Y'all do something for the I think y'all can just call them and say anything. That's man. I don't like that. And I ain't trying to be disrespectful, but you got me heated right now, man. And there better not be no cameras in my house. Do you understand that?
I'm going to tell you once and one time only. No more sex whatsoever,
what you talking about. I'm sorry, man. Because I tell you one damn thing. You think you're giving up some money. Now, I'm going to sue y'all if I catch a camera up in my house. And you ain't going to have to never pay me no more. You're going to pay me one big check, but I'm suing the out of y'all. Now, you understand that?
I understand. I need you to understand one more thing. Are you listening to me?
Man, go ahead, man. Y'all got me easy, man. And after this, here, don't even call me no more. I'm telling you, because this is ridiculous.
Okay, are you familiar with Leonard?
Man, familiar with what?
Leonard. Do you know Leonard, your coworker Leonard?
Yeah, what about him?
Leonard got me to prank phone call you. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Vincent, buddy, you've been pranked.
Man, get the fuck out of here. Man, y'all about to have me to... Ooh, Lord, talk about my check and man. No, man, what's up, man? This is y'all had me going out, man. Y'all had me heated. Man, I'm gonna kick his. Let me call that. Is he on the phone?
No, he ain't on the phone, man.
Ooh, I'm sweating like so I'm still getting my damn check. Then that's what that means. Y'all had me heated, boy. I thought y'all gonna take my. What's up, man? Nice to hear from y'all, man.
Yeah,
y'all got me, though, man. Y'all got me.
I got one more question, man. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Of course, no doubt, man. It's the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Always will be, especially y'all done got me like this here.
I make y'all proud, don't I?
No, proud is not the operative term here. No,
stupid proud is what I'm saying, Shirley.
Oh, proud of your stupid?
That's not
proud
a term.
Of stupidity.
That's not a term.
What do you mean it's not a term?
It's not. You just want a high five? You the king of pranks?
Yeah. Okay, I need some accolades or some gratitude.
Oh, okay, we'll
or
say
some
that because proud of
applause
your stupid.
And
yeah, that was a great job. You play too much. We tell you that every day.
Yeah.
And that's the name of my movie. You play too much.
Oh, that Steve's going to finance?
No, that's been the name of it. You didn't come up with it.
Yes, I did. You'll hear from my attorney.
The one that Steve's going to finance?
He ain't gonna do it. I'm gonna get it out there.
Oh man, why you shoot yourself in the foot?
I don't even know about it. He ain't even told me about it.
Have you asked him, nephew?
How much you looking to raise to do the move?
I gave it to his manager. Your manager ain't giving it to
you? No, he never mentioned it to me. What else is new? How much you trying to raise for your movie?
$3.5 million.
Why you laugh when you said that? This must be
what you mean, Steve? What kind of movie is that? Is that not enough?
What is it? 30 minutes?
No.
We gotta go. We'll be back. Strawberry Letter coming up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's time for today's Strawberry Letter. And if you're in a situation and you need some advice, please, please submit your Strawberry Letter to steveharveyfm.com. Steve and I could read your letter on the air. Who knows? Just like this one. The subject today is whose is it? Come on, Tommy.
Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you, the Strawberry Letter.
I don't know. For some reason, I love this subject. Whose is it? Dear Stephen Shirley, this past Valentine's Day started out as the most amazing day with the man of my dreams. We planned to go out to dinner. So after work, I went to his condo and waited for him to get home. The moment he walked through the door, we got busy, quick and wild style. Afterwards, we pulled ourselves together and went out to dinner. He gave me the bottle of perfume that I had always wanted, so the night was going great. After dinner, we went back to his condo and had some drinks, listened to some music, and ended up getting intimate again. The lovemaking was so intense and passionate this time until he abruptly jumped up and yelled, "What did you say?" It took me a couple of seconds, and then I realized, oh my goodness, I just whispered my ex's name.
Damn.
How did this happen? I've been divorced for 10 years, and I have no contact whatsoever with my ex. My man looked at me with this hurt, angry, disgusted look and left the bedroom. This is the second time it's happened. I did the same thing a few years ago. He eventually forgave me the first time, and we got back on track. But this time, I don't think it's going to be that's going to happen. I've apologized over and over, but we've only spoken twice since then. I'm so mad at myself. I'm heartbroken and confused. What is wrong with me? Do you think he will forgive me again? Or is it best to just leave it alone and walk away? By the way, we're in our mid-50s, both divorced, and we've been together for the past 7 years. I don't want to lose him. Please help. Wow. What a way to mess up a really good evening. Girl, what were you thinking?
Stay out of this, Tommy.
I mean...
Okay.
I can hear your brain.
Uh-huh. I can hear him breathing.
Stay out of this, Tommy. I can hear your damn brain turning.
You guys had a great night. You say this is a man of your dreams. You guys have been together for 7 years. You've been divorced for 10. Where did this come from? I mean, did you have too much to drink? Were you drunk? You know, maybe you can blame it on that. But yeah, this is kind of crazy. And you hurt his ego, you know, not just one time. This is the second time you've done that. How do you think he's supposed to feel? It makes him think, I guess, from a man's point of view, that you're thinking during the most intimate time, not about him, but about your ex. And that's not cool. I don't know how you did that. You slipped up really badly. He forgave you the second time. The first time, I mean, eventually, I don't know if he's going to forgive you this time. I don't know. It depends on, you know, how you make it up to him, if he allows you to make it up to him. I don't think that you should just leave and walk away without, you know, doing everything you can. But you're in your mid-50s. You're both divorced. I mean, it sounds like you have a good thing going. You just messed it up. You're just going to have to, I don't know, really, you know, plead and appeal your case to him. Maybe he'll forgive you a second time. I don't know. Steve?
Well, I don't need to. How much time I got? How many minutes I got?
You got plenty of time. Go ahead.
Because I could do this. 3 minutes, I can get all this in one time.
Come on.
Let me explain something to you. Mm. What happened was has happened to a lot of men before. But the title of the letter is, Whose Is It? So obviously, he asked the question in the middle of the session. Whose is it? And he said it because he knew he was putting in work.
Wow. Take your time.
He done had this thing all morning. This round two, y'all back. You walk in the door, it's passionate. Mm-hmm. All hell done broke loose.
Mm.
Then bit your buttons off.
Mm.
That's when you know it's popping off.
That's passion right there.
He bit her buttons off.
He couldn't just rip them off?
I'm going to need two times to do this because I forgot. I got to set up what the hell happened. Y'all came in the room tearing at each other.
Uh-huh.
The anticipation was incredible. He gave you perfume that you always wanted. And y'all walked through the door. Y'all got busy. She says in her like quick and wild style.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you know what wild style is. This all over
what is
the
it,
stairs.
Steve? Yeah.
This when you break spindles off in the banister. This way you can't explain how the hell you got that refrigerator handle in your hand. This how wild
in
it is.
In the kitchen?
Yeah, the block that hold the mallet and butcher knife, it broke.
Really?
You can't even find that other kitchen chair. You don't even know what the hell happened to it. Why is the kitchen chair outside?
You just got three now.
Yeah. And who tore the hot water handle off the speaker?
That's pretty wild, Steve. That's pretty wild.
It didn't just happen. All the cushions on the couch is wet. All of them.
Yes. Come on.
You can't explain none of this. And it's a crack in the flat screen TV. That's how wild it just got. And the fireplace don't work no more. All the ashes and wood. It just done popped off. This is quick and wild style.
Yes.
When you in there, you can't explain nothing. People coming on. What is all these knee prints in this carpet?
Yeah.
Girl, is your knees bleeding? He got a zipper print on his cheek.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
That's how wild it got up in there. Now, when I come
back,
I'm going to explain to you, because right in the middle of this wild style, while he was performing at his highest level ever before, he asked the proverbial question, whose is it? There's a word missing in there, but we all know what he meant.
You said,
whose is it? When I come back, we will go down the list of things you could have said, and then a list of things that you probably said. Right after this, all hell breaks loose.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's get to part two of your response to today's Strawberry Letter. Subject, whose is it? You had some lists?
Yeah, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
Now, for the first time, I'm going to play the role of her.
I'm the dude.
Tommy's not going to be the girl?
It's just for one line.
Oh, okay.
All I want you to do, Tommy, is say, whose is it?
Okay.
Then this first list is because she said something wrong, because in the letter she said, the title of the letter is whose is it? Mm-hmm. In the middle of the letter she said, he jumped up and said, what did you say?
Mm-hmm.
So now, after he jumped up and said, to avoid the what did you say, let me give you ladies a list of things that you can say if you're unsure of whose it is.
Mm.
So, Tommy, go ahead.
Whose is it?
Ooh, child. See, that's easy.
Like a bear.
That's all right. Come on, Tommy.
No, he sounded like a bear.
Whose is it?
Huh? Oh, it's you, Daddy. Come on, Shirley. It's you, Daddy.
You're not a good girl, Steve.
I ain't gotta be. I'm just trying to save your marriage.
Whose is it?
Big dog!
Any of these would have worked.
Whose is it?
It's yours! It's yours!
Look at me. Whose is it?
Who you think?
Whose is it?
You better know it!
All of those would have worked.
One more, Tommy.
Whose is it?
N-word!
That's my favorite.
Now, those are a list of things that you can use to keep yourself out of trouble that will keep a man engaged, working hard, giving his all. Now, here's what you can't say when he asked you. Now, his name is Nathaniel. The man's name is Nathaniel.
My name?
Quake.
It's Nathaniel.
That's Quake name.
I forgot that. It is Quake. Government. That was on the driver's license.
Yeah.
So come on, Tommy.
Whose is it?
Who hell?
What did you say?
What? I don't know. What I, baby, what's wrong? What I say? What? Nathaniel?
You call me Harold.
No,
you call me
Harold. No, I said Nathaniel.
No. You said Harold.
Nathaniel, why would I call you? Okay, go again. Let's go.
Come on, baby. Look at me. Whose is it?
You forgot. Guessing.
What? What you doing?
What's your name?
Did you say,
Go ahead, Tommy. Do it again.
All right, baby. Whose is it?
Okay. Let me think. Now, Tommy, you got to go. What did you say? You got to keep doing that.
Yeah, Tommy.
I'm sorry. What did you just say? What did you just say?
Do it again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Whose is it, baby?
I don't know.
Oh.
What did you say?
You're doing good, though. Go ahead.
Whoever you are.
You don't know?
Come on, baby. Whose is it? Baby, I said, whose is it?
I'm confused.
What?
Why are you asking me that?
What you talking about? I asked you, whose is it?
Last one.
Oh, baby, whose is it?
Everybody!
What did you say? What did you just say?
Everybody! Last one, Tommy.
That was so good.
Talk to me, baby. Whose is it? Baby, whose is it?
What your name is?
My name Nathaniel. I just want to thank you for letting me be the guy.
N-word. Sorry.
N-word.
Sorry.
That just covered.
Tommy's so messy, man. Huh? He was really into it.
But he forgot a part.
I know, then he forgot.
Tommy's sweating.
Yeah. Breathing hard. It's just a reenactment.
Oh, man.
But he got that part down.
Yeah. Put your shirt back on. No shirt off.
We don't know you like that. All right, listen, we got to get out of here, guys. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts.
Where are we going next?
On today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve, you know, we just came up with some questions. We, you know how you love Ask Steve, and we love asking you questions.
Now, this ain't CEO or nothing, just regular Steve.
Just some random questions, yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm ready.
All right. You could just take this one and run with it, actually. Okay. This is a Ask Steve. We're going to Ask Steve. Steve,
ask
you know
Steve,
how you love this.
Go.
Ask right,
let's
Steve.
Go. there should be a level of appreciation from the upper management for the job you all have done. But I'm looking around the room and I don't really see nothing that special going on.
Not one person.
I don't really see nothing that special going on. So, you know, I mean, you're in here because there's a check. The moment I cut these checks, I would expect none of you to come back the next day.
I would come for free.
And we love what we do.
All those are lies.
We love
so now that we've got that out the way, I have come to the conclusion that your loyalty is attached to a check. And therefore, my desires for perfection from you should be reflective of that check.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So now,
is that fair?
As you all ask your questions today, I will also give you not only the answer but the rebuttal to that. So y'all can begin anytime you like. Our meeting is open and adjourned.
All right, Steve, if you had, let's see, if you made your goal $1 billion, would you break us off? And how much?
Yeah, if I made $1 billion and I left the radio show early, yeah, I would give y'all something.
What would that be?
I'd probably, everybody get $1 million.
Wow.
Oh,
how, how can we look at your books to know that you get it? We need to, you know, what you ain't gonna do is get there and
what?
I don't know it. I need to know that you, when you close to that billion. Because what I don't want is for you to get there and we don't know you got it.
We're working for years. And then
he keeps saying, well, I'm we almost
can't find, we can't find him.
If I got $1 billion, I'm not getting up every morning to do the radio.
So he here.
So you know I'm there.
Clue number one.
That's clue number one.
Clue number one.
And now you can't look at my book.
And when you get like 100,000 from that billion, I'll let your boy so I can make that deposit over in there and you'll be there because I know the million coming back. You see what I'm saying?
900 million.
Yeah. I'm going to get you in there.
Oh, mine in ones.
We could go into the strip club.
I'm
going to
have a little celebration.
make it rain.
Just know that.
Okay, next question, Shirley.
All right. Okay, any you got a question? Go ahead.
What do you think you were good at, but you are actually quite bad at it?
Oh, that's a good question.
What do I think I was good at, but I'm actually quite bad at?
Yeah.
Golf.
You think you're good at golf?
I hit a shot one time. I thought I was somebody. Right after that, I found out I wasn't.
Okay.
Golf has been a challenge for me. I was headed to be a pretty good piano player at one point. I could have been.
Oh, really? I can
that.
See that.
You can
see
play.
That.
You ain't bad at the piano.
You can play.
Yeah, but I could have been really good at the piano, and then poverty struck. There was no money for lessons. So.
That's on my bucket list.
We didn't have money for lessons or piano. So,
piano lessons.
So
let me ask this question. What is it you do that you do with other people that are better than you? Would that be golf?
When you play golf? Do I do what?
Now, what is it you play that the other people are better than you, but you play it anyway? Would that be golf?
Yeah, I mean, like, I play with the same foursome all the time, man, because we have such a great time. My boy Blue drive that golf ball way down that fairway, man. Mm-hmm. If I could hit my driver like him, they couldn't touch me. But I putt better and putt and chip better than all of them. Because I ain't never on greens in regulation, so I got to get up there sometime.
Okay.
So I'm pretty good at that
so
part.
You get a lot of practice,
day.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in the rough all the time.
Good. All the day. I'm on the edge.
Here's the next question, Steve. If you lost all of your money, if you just woke up tomorrow morning and you were broke again or your bank account was wiped out, all of that, could you, do you think you could rebuild?
And oh, yeah.
And
oh,
how definitely. Quickly?
Definitely. I may not be able to get back to where I am right now, but I could rebuild my income. I could become a millionaire in a year.
Get right back to it.
Right back.
Because it's a state of mind, right?
No yeah, betrayal. I could become a millionaire within a year, easily. Easily. Because I understand what it takes. I know the principles. And I know what I'm willing to do. I know what I'm willing to do. So it wouldn't a year. I'd be a millionaire before the year was up. Easily.
Wow. I know. That's That's quite profound.
Well, you can still do comedy, and it's ticket prices.
Boy,
right,
let me
there.
Tell you,
you
something.
Go back on the road.
Oh, yeah, you go back to
comedy.
Oh,
I'll be on that stage.
Oh, yeah. Make that in no time.
45 days from the moment I got nothing. Mean, 45 days later, Steve Harvey live at the Fox.
It's a different ticket price.
But it's all right to be homeless when you're living out of your Rolls Royce. You know what I'm saying? That's cool.
It's all right.
That's a nice homeless.
I have a serious question.
Go ahead.
Since we get here, and we do the show, there's no time that we have a lunch break. What I would like to know, when is lunch?
When you're not talking.
You can eat your lunch.
That's right. You quit talking, you could be.
Yeah. Being a diabetic, I have to have a lunch break.
We have covered that, and your orange juice is in the refrigerator.
Can we keep in the office?
We have it right here. And we are also a new policy. We are deducting all this Tropicana out your pay.
I just want to ask you something.
Yeah, man.
We've been working here, and we have not seen a cost of living raise. Do we even get them?
Ain't going to see a cost of living raise.
All right, Steve, we'll come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so these are commercials that we hear all the time. And, Jay, you kind of wrote this segment, so tell us what this is all about.
Here's how it goes. We're going to play some of these commercials that are on the radio, that you see them on television. You hate them, and the reason you hate them is because they play them all the damn time. But you can't stop singing them.
They mean it's working, then.
They mean it's working, yeah. Like, for instance, everybody's heard this one. Play it. Hit it, Cat.
I have a structured settlement, and I need cash now.
J.G. Whitworth.
Cat, settle. No!
It do get on your nerve, though.
I hate that commercial.
J.G. Whitworth. Got 776 now.
Yeah, I sure couldn't have done this one.
You don't know none of these.
You don't know none of these.
You ain't seen none of these.
All right, what about this one?
800-588-2300.
I know you
this
heard
guy
that
is not. Is this guy is no longer with us, but this commercial lives on, man. He's still around. All right, play number four.
What? I still got that.
That's all it's saying.
Stupid but effective.
Yes. A singing cat.
Give me the next one, man.
For the best car insurance rates in town, call 1-800-GENERAL now.
Yes.
Not the one with Shaq on
there. This the one with Shaq.
With Shaq.
How he
but
get
the
in that
general,
car.
The little general, and that helmet.
And Shaq in that car.
Man.
Is there a car that can fit the general and Shaq?
Yeah. Shaq is in a lot of commercials.
Oh, man, he's got a lot of Shaq. Shaq's making money, man. Mm-hmm.
New pitch man, seems like.
I'm making a lot
his
of money.
His commercials are great.
I'm making so much money. I'm making a lot of money. All right, give me the next one, Kat.
Call 1-800-STEAMER. Stanley Steamer gets carpet cleaner.
Yes.
Say
Steve.
Yes. That was my jam.
Yes.
1-800 Steamer.
Oh, that's right.
That's
so you like that. That was your competition.
I wanted to be Stanley Steamer so bad. If I had the money for that yellow truck with that red writing on it. But I had a blue truck with white writing on it, and it was a
Steve
74 Econoline van I had bought and put wall-to-wall carpet clean.
Give me the next one, Kat. You know this one too, Steve. I know you know this one.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Yep.
Safe Light Repair. Uh-huh. You know what? I never know what the hell they're saying. All I know is Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
They say Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Oh.
That's the glass.
I thought they were saying Safe Light Repair.
So far, one commercial for me.
But you're going to know this one, Steve. You're going to know this. Play the next one, Kat.
Best part of waking up is Folgers
in your car.
Now that's classic.
Uh-huh. That's
from childhood right there.
Folgers got good ass
coffee. Hit it again, Cat. Hit it again, man.
Best part of waking up is Folgers in your car.
He got got his eyes closed, yeah. Man.
What house is that? That ain't my house with poaches in it. Ain't nobody that happy.
All right.
I am. Yeah. I have coffee every day.
No, I'm talking about, you remember how happy the people was in the kitchen?
I be that happy. Yeah. Me and my girl, we that happy.
They love coffee, man. They love coffee. All right, now I know you know this one. It's the most annoying. Play it.
I can't stand
it.
Dog.
It's so sad.
Is that dog commercial? Time for these dogs.
Yeah. Don't you hate that?
Dog, I can't stand that dog. They ain't a commercial this good for starving ass kids.
Yeah.
They put some time into these damn.
And that's a real song.
They caught them dogs in their worst state.
Oh, them dogs be looking
so sad.
And I feel so bad for the damn dog.
Yeah,
but I don't be wanting to feel that right now.
You turn the channel, dog.
Of an angel. The dog ain't got no fur on him over there shivering on a chain. Man, why are you filming the damn dog? Save him.
Yeah. Man, what about that dog that hobble out there killing and look back at you?
Oh, man, the dog. You can't take it, man. All right, this is the last one. This is the one. Check this one out. I know you heard this one.
1-877 cars for kids. K-A-R-S cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids.
Ain't even playing.
Boy, they ain't playing. They all feet too.
1-877 cars for kids.
I'm saying, where they get this
dog? K-A-R-S cars for kids.
Somebody hurry up, get ass.
There's some stage in your head. 1-877. Get each kid a car.
Somebody hurry up and give them a car.
Jay, you have a lot of time on your hands. Yes, you do.
He is the one that has stayed in my head the longest.
Which one?
Oh, I like to be an Oscar Mayer wiener.
From a kid. Yeah.
That is what I truly like to be. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me. I hated that dog.
Dog, you know it.
61 and still know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because they affect
it. What about this?
Whose goal is to be a damn hot dog? That's some low aiming ass right there.
It's so good. That's what they want to be.
Oscar Mayer wiener. Are you kidding me?
Campaign.
You want to be in some boiling water.
What's up, my baloney?
That's a first name.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
O-S-C-A-R. Yeah.
Classic.
Commercials wear you out, man.
It's O-S-C-A-R. The baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why I'm saying, because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-O-G-N-A.
How's that?
But you know what it is, though? When you put kids, it's the kid. When you put kids in those commercials.
It wins.
Yeah.
They win.
Yeah. They really so do. So cute. Yeah, because they're adorable.
So they,
How about this one right here? Mm-hmm. Oh, how many seconds?
Come on.
Oh, I ain't got that. I can't do it.
Okay, well, we'll do yours when we come back, okay? More of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, we're back. We were doing some of our favorite commercials from today and then, of course, from the past that we hate.
This is the one I hated, but we had to play it all the time in our house.
What? Which one?
All I want for Christmas is to be tall. I'm so tired of being short.
You gotta sing it.
All I want for Christmas is to be tall.
No, I don't remember this at all.
I'm so damn tired of being short.
You had to tie that.
Just let me be tall. That's all I ask.
He back in it again.
I don't want much for Christmas.
Call me, Jay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, Anthony Brown.
Everybody had to learn that. Boy, if this boy don't quit singing that. My daddy used to tell me, set your ass up. You finna be tall. Your damn daddy ain't tall.
Well, that was cute, Steve. Tommy, you don't remember that?
I don't want to talk about
still
it.
Still saying.
I don't want to talk about it.
Short term memory loss.
And what do you got?
Short term memory loss.
Steve got this long range goal.
Didn't McDonald's have a song?
No, they had a jingle. They had a to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a set C bun.
Yes, McDonald's.
Why do I remember that?
It was effective.
Hey, man, I've been looking at that McDonald's commercial, man. I actually wants me. I didn't know they had a Big Mac Grand now.
Yeah.
Oh, what? A Big Mac Grand.
Bigger than the Big Mac?
I didn't know. I saw it on the commercial. Man, I want to go try that.
You can't have it, huh?
Oh, I got
you stop eating meat?
Day.
What? No, never.
Did he insult you?
Never.
No. Did I insult you? I'm no, sorry, man.
Your father will come out of his grave.
He really is a Chapman.
Talking about you don't eat no meat. Boy.
Steve, you don't think you could give up meat?
No.
Have you ever tried it?
Yeah.
What was the number?
I had 21 days. 21 days. Detox for 21 days. Gave up meat.
How'd you feel?
I felt great. I mean, I was actually light.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you light?
I got clear-headed, really good.
You have more energy?
I mean, I can have energy with meat, too, though, so.
Yeah, that's what you
make
get
no energy. Mistake.
You just have to eat the right things. I mean, you know, let me tell you who has one. Wolfgang Puck grows all of his Wagyu beef on the same farm in the United States. And it's pretty good. I actually have liked it better than Japanese Wagyu beef.
One of them got too much marble, Steve. One of them does.
Too much fat in it? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Too much?
Really?
Okay.
I don't eat
this one. I don't
even make it. I think Wolfgang Puck
found a great blend. I'm going to sit
their
out.
Their steaks are excellent.
I said marble and threw him all the way.
Marble.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
I had no idea what he was talking about either.
No, talking to these two right here, Jay and Kier, it's like old new money and new no money. It's like you just go, wow, what have you all done with your time on the planet?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Now, Steve, Jay is here. Please introduce him to Murder Another.
Ladies, gentlemen, Murder the Hits, Jay Anthony Brown.
What up, everybody? This is your boy, Jay Anthony Brown. It's going down Tuesday night at the J-Spot Comedy Club, 5581 West Manchester Avenue. Jay Anthony Brown and friends. And now, this song right here, Steve, I want to thank you for allowing me to introduce the Fat Panther on this show.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what the Fat Panther did not have was theme music.
Right.
Cannot be a superhero without theme music.
Right.
This is the Fat Panther's theme song. Check it out.
Jay. Woo, that's a fire, Jay.
Boy, oh, we were back in the 70s.
J
jam, boy. She just played. Got a message for you.
That Panther.
I love it.
Panther.
That's superhero theme song.
Yeah, you got him. Lord.
That's what he do, because that's what he do.
Is that a tear coming down your
eye? Man, this boy. This boy touched me, man.
Fat Panther comic strip will be on the Steve Harvey night. What is the, what's the,
Steve Harvey FM.
Steve Harvey FM. Uh-huh.
It's going to be on Steve Harvey.
At one each week. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And what does Fat Panther do?
Yeah.
Man? What does he do?
Oh, if he's fighting injustices for food. If somebody takes your lunch, call the Fat Panther. You got a raggedy breakfast, call the Fat Panther.
Is the Fat Panther fat?
Yeah, yeah. He's,
how fat is he?
Your order in the drive-thru?
The Fat Panther will deal with it. Keeping his pie on the crime.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
One slice at a time. What?
Yeah.
That's his slogan.
Go ahead, Fat Panther.
I love it.
What you mean they forgot your fries?
Call the Fat Panther.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve Harvey, you've brought your fabulous and very insightful, very informal, very motivating closing remarks back. It's something that you started years ago when you first started the Steve Harvey Morning Show. People have grown to love them and you know, to live by them and be inspired by them. So what do you have for us today?
Here's today a real good piece of motivation that makes your quest to become successful a little bit simpler. You know, oftentimes people are stuck in a rut because they can't think their way clear to see the end result. What I mean by is some people make such lofty goals and then they sit there without a plan of attack to achieve that lofty goal until they've created a goal that seems so daunting that they don't even start the process of trying to accomplish it. For example, and this doesn't have to be the case, I'm just using this as an example. Let's say you want to be a millionaire and you say, wow, I want to make $1 million. And then you start thinking of how to make the $1 million. And because you can't, it becomes so daunting. Making $1 million is difficult. If it were easy, wouldn't you do it by Friday? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you? Of course you would. But it's a little more difficult than that. So here's what I had to learn in my life. Everybody listening to this was born with a gift. It's inside of you because God is very fair. He didn't put it on a mountaintop. He didn't hide it under a rock. It's in you. And your gift is the thing that you do the absolute best with the least amount of effort. In that lies your greatest chance for success. There's a scripture that says your gift will make room for you and put you in the presence of great men. Let's just look at the first part of that. Your gift will make room for you. My interpretation of that has meant what my gift has done for me. It has allowed me to spread out. It has taken me places I never dreamed I'd go. Your gift will do the same thing for you. So now, let's just talk about your ability to get to the million. I think it's with your gift. Because if that's what that he gave you and instilled at you at birth, was to make room for you, here's your chance. Now, how do I do that, Steve? I call it the maximize your effort by 10 theory. It's just something I came up with driving when I was homeless and coming up with how to make it. And I discovered something. All of you have something that some would pay you $10 to do. Some of you paint, some of you teach, some of you babysit, tutors. Some of you work with your hands. Some of you can sing, some of you can choreograph. Some of you, there's so many things. Cut grass. I mean, play the piano. Some of you do something. Some of y'all work on cars. Some of y'all drive. But all of you have something that you will do that someone will give you $10 to do. All of you have something that someone will pay you $10 to do because you do something that someone else can't do. Mm-hmm. So now all you got to do, instead of trying to figure out how to make $1 million, is go make the $10 that you're able to make. Once you make that $10, I want you to do it 10 more times. When you do it 10 more times, you now have $100. Once you have $100, it's very simple. Do the same thing you did to make the $100 10 more times. You now have $1,000. See, you don't have to keep thinking of something else to do. Just keep doing the same thing that you've been doing. Just do it, multiply the effort. It's the effort that maximizes and brings about the fruition of what your life can be. So if you make $1,000 and you do that 10 more times, I have news for you. Now I have $10,000. Now, in order to make $100,000, you might need a little bit of help. You might need to hire somebody to help you do the thing that you do. But if you make $10,000 and you do what you did to make $10,000, which is the same thing you did to make $10, if you do it 10 more times, you now have $100,000. Now listen to me, my friends. Once you have $100,000, I could assure you, you are going to need help. Because in order to maximize $100,000, you have to have some like-minded people around you. Nobody gets to the top alone. Nobody becomes successful and wealthy by themselves. They form partnerships, relationships, they get employees. But once you make $100,000 doing the same thing you did to make $10, if you do it 10 more times, I have news for you, my friends. Congratulations. You have just made $1 million with a $10 idea. Stop trying to figure out how to make the million when all you got to do is take your $10 gift that God has put in you. It's a $1 million gift that you have. You just haven't broken it down inch by inch, anything's a cinch, and maximize the efforts. That's how you become successful. These jokes that pay me what I make now, it's the same jokes that pay me $25 a night. They the same jokes. It's all English. This is not in another language. I don't know no more words now than I knew then. I've taken these $25 jokes and I've maximized them over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's the same jokes I was telling. Babysitters who charge $50 to watch kids, babysitters end up opening up daycare centers. Daycare centers turn into franchises. Creme de la creme, Montessori schools. These are national franchises. Somebody was just babysitting. My partner used to cut grass for $3 in the front, $3 in the back. He got a landscaping company in Cleveland. He make $4 million a year. You know what he do? He cut grass. Same $6 grass cutting he been doing. He just got some trucks now. What is it that you do that somebody will pay you $10 that you can maximize your effort for and turn it into your million? Quit trying to figure out how to make the million. Take your $10 skill set and start hammering it and beating it and working it and grinding and hustling and multiplying and magnifying it, and you'll make $1 million. That's my closing remarks. Thank y'all very much.
Thanks, huh?
All right, now.
Talk, boy.
Yeah.
Y'all have a great weekend.
Turn your volume up if you're with me, please. Oh, yeah, I'll be in the mall.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.